This Father's Day at Lowe's, score free gifts for the greatest dad. Right now, get a free Blackstone 8-piece accessory kit when you buy a Blackstone 28-inch griddle. Plus, get two free select Craftsman V20 tools when you buy an RP brushless drill and impact driver combo kit. Shop these deals and more this Father's Day at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 6/15 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Hello, friend. Welcome back to Foul Play. This is episode 2 of our series, Serial Killers in History. We last left you in ancient Rome. Now we are moving to France during the reign of Louis XIV, where we find serial killer Catherine Monvoisin, another female serial killer who used poison to kill her victims.
In the glittering court of Louis XIV's France, where opulence and intrigue walked hand in hand, one of history's most notorious serial killers plied her deadly trade. The year was 1679, and the streets of Paris were about to reveal a scandal so shocking it would shake the very foundations of French society. This is the tale of Catherine Monvoisin, better known as La Voisin, a fortune teller turned poisoner whose clients included some of the most powerful figures in France. Her story isn't just one of murder and magic, but a window into a world where desperation and ambition led the nobility to dabble in the darkest of arts. From humble beginnings as a fortune teller to becoming the centre of the infamous Affair of the Poisons, La Voisin's tale would eventually implicate hundreds of nobles and change the French criminal system forever. Catherine Deyer was born in 1640 to a humble family on the outskirts of Paris. Like many women of her time, she received little formal education, but showed an early aptitude for herbalism and folk medicine, skills passed down through generations of women in her community. Despite her modest beginnings, Catherine harboured ambitions that stretched far beyond the limitations of her social class. At the age of 20, she married Antoine Monvoisin, a jeweller whose business would soon fall into financial ruin. The couple settled in Paris, where they struggled to maintain appearances among the city's aspiring middle class. As her husband's debt mounted, Catherine found herself forced to seek a way to support their growing family. Drawing upon her knowledge of herbs and her natural charisma, Catherine began offering services as a fortune teller and midwife. She quickly discovered that Paris's wealthy citizens were eager to pay handsomely for glimpses into their futures and solutions to their problems. Operating from a modest home in the Villeneuve Quarter, she developed a reputation for accuracy in her predictions and discretion in her dealings.
What set Catherine apart from other fortune tellers was her keen understanding of human nature. She knew that her clients, particularly the women, came to her not just for predictions, but for hope. Whether they sought news of an unfaithful husband, a chance at love, or relief from an unwanted pregnancy, Catherine provided both comfort and solutions for a price. Her practice grew steadily, attracting an increasingly wealthy and influential clientele, who would soon draw her into a web of intrigue that would define the rest of her life. As Catherine's reputation grew, she transformed her humble fortune-telling practice into a sophisticated operation that catered to Paris's elite. Her home became a lavish establishment, complete with elegant furnishings and private consultation rooms, where nobles could discreetly share their darkest desires. She employed a network of assistants, including astrologers, alchemists, and priests, each contributing their specialized skills to her expanding enterprise. Her services evolved far beyond simple palm readings and horoscopes. Catherine became known as Le Voisin, a name that whispered through the salons of Paris with equal parts fear and fascination. She offered love potions to desperate wives, fertility treatments to barren noble women, and solutions for those who wished to eliminate troublesome rivals or spouses. Her knowledge of herbs and poisons grew more sophisticated, as did her connections to underground suppliers of exotic and deadly substances. Le Voisin's business model was built on an intimate understanding of the French aristocracy's vulnerabilities. She recognized that behind the glittering facades of Versailles lay a world of ambition, jealousy, and desperation. Those who sought her services were willing to pay astronomical sums for the promise of power, love, or revenge. A single consultation could earn her more than a merchant made in a year. Perhaps most notorious were the black masses she began to organize, elaborate ceremonies that combined Catholic ritual with occult practices. These ceremonies, conducted in secret locations outside Paris, attracted some of the most powerful figures in France. Participants believed these dark rituals could grant them their deepest wishes, from romantic conquest to political advancement. Le Voisin orchestrated these events with theatrical precision, understanding that her clients craved both results and spectacle.
Catherine's network expanded to include not just the desperate and lovesick, but also those seeking to advance their positions at court. She became a repository of dangerous secrets, knowing precisely who had poisoned whom, which nobles participated in sacrilegious ceremonies, and which members of the royal court engaged in affairs that could destroy their reputations. This knowledge made her both powerful and vulnerable, as her clients became increasingly dependent on her discretion. Among Le Voisin's most influential clients was Francoise Athenaise, Marquise de Montespan, the official mistress of King Louis XIV himself. Their relationship began in 1667, when Montespan, fearing her waning influence over the king, sought Catherine's services to secure her position at court. This partnership would prove to be both lucrative and ultimately devastating for both women. The rituals performed for Madame de Montespan were among the most elaborate and blasphemous in Le Voisin's repertoire. They typically took place in remote chapels under the cover of darkness. During these black masses, a renegade priest would perform a twisted version of the Catholic Mass upon Montespan's body, which served as a human altar. The ceremonies included summoning demons, sacrifices of stolen communion hosts, and the use of infant's blood, all intended to maintain the king's affections. Le Voisin supplied Montespan with various potions and powders allegedly containing everything from Spanish fly to powdered human bones, which the royal mistress would secretly add to the king's food and wine. These concoctions were designed not only to inflame the king's passion, but also to ensure his continued devotion to Montespan above all other potential rivals. The relationship between Le Voisin and Montespan grew increasingly complex as the years passed. Regular payments flowed from Versailles to Catherine's home in Paris, delivered by trusted intermediaries who maintained absolute discretion. The stakes were impossibly high. If their arrangement were discovered, it would mean death for Le Voisin and disgrace for Montespan. These ceremonies became more frequent and desperate as Montespan's influence over the king began to decline in the late 1670s. New younger rivals had caught the king's wandering eye, and Montespan's desperation led her to request increasingly dangerous and controversial services. Le Voisin began preparing more potent poisons and organising even more elaborate rituals, pushing the boundaries of what even she considered acceptable. The satanic ceremonies grew more elaborate, incorporating summoning of particular demons like Astaroth, known to be the Great Duke of Hell, and Asmodeus, a king of demons. Children were allegedly sacrificed during these rituals, their blood and organs used in potions intended for the king. These dark ceremonies represented the ultimate fusion of Catholic ritual and black magic, performed with the singular goal of maintaining one woman's power over the most powerful man in France.
The House of Cards began to crumble in 1679, when Paris police arrested Magdalene de Lagrange, a fortune teller who implicated Lavoisin in a complex web of poisonings and black magic. This initial thread, when pulled, began to unravel what would become known as Affaire des Poisons, the Affair of the Poisons. Gabriel Nicolas de la Reynie, Paris's first lieutenant general of police, led the investigation with methodical precision. As he began to dig deeper, the scale of Lavoisin's operation became frighteningly clear. His investigation revealed not just isolated incidents of fortune-telling and minor sorcery, but a vast criminal network that had infiltrated the highest rungs of French society. The testimony of Marie Bousset, another arrested prisoner, opened the floodgates. She boasted drunkenly about her profitable trade in poison, claiming that Paris would soon be shocked by the number of widows appearing in its streets. This led investigators directly to Lavoisin's doorstep, revealing a client list that read like a who's who of French nobility. As the investigation progressed, hundreds of people were arrested and interrogated. The authorities discovered an underground economy of poison traders, alchemists, rogue priests, and professional criminals, all operating under Lavoisin's careful orchestration. The infamous Chamois Ardon, the Burning Court, was established specifically to deal with the mounting cases of poison and witchcraft. The scandal reached its peak when evidence emerged linking Lavoisin to Madame de Montespan. Lorraine found himself in an impossible position. His investigation had uncovered evidence that implicated the king's own mistress in attempts to poison her rivals, and perhaps even the king himself. Louis XIV, upon learning the extent of the scandal, moved to protect the reputation of the crown by sealing certain testimonies and limiting the scope of the investigation. The affair exposed the dark underbelly of French high society, where nobility regularly employed poison and black magic to remove inconvenient spouses, rivals, or obstacles to inheritance. What had begun as an investigation into a single fortune teller had exploded into a scandal that threatened the very foundation of French aristocratic society.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
On a cold January morning in 1680, the Paris police finally moved against Catherine Monvoisin. They arrested her as she emerged from a church service at Notre-Dame de Bonne Nouvelle, choosing this moment of apparent piety to apprehend one of France's most notorious criminals. In the interrogation chambers of the Chateau de Vincennes, La Voisin initially maintained her composure, denying all accusations with the confidence of someone who had long operated above the law. However, as the question intensified under La Rainey's skilled direction, cracks began to appear in her carefully constructed facade. The trial proceedings revealed horrors that exceeded even the investigators' darkest expectations. La Voisin confessed to arranging over 2,500 infant murders, with many of the babies being unwanted products of their wealthy clients' affairs. She described in elaborate detail the black masses performed in her house, where infants were sacrificed on makeshift altars, their blood used in diabolical rituals. During her testimony, La Voisin implicated numerous prominent figures in French society. She spoke of regular visits from countesses, duchesses, and other nobility, all seeking her services for everything from love potions to deadly poisons. The court was particularly shocked by her detailed accounts of ceremonies involving desecrated communion hosts and murder. What made her trial especially sensational was her unwavering frankness once she began to confess. She showed neither remorse nor hesitation in describing the most horrific crimes. When questioned about her motivations, she simply stated that she provided services that people desperately wanted, and that her clients' money was as good as anyone else's. Trial lasted several months, with each new day bringing fresh revelations that sent shockwaves through French society. As more evidence emerged, it became clear that La Voisin had not operated alone, but had maintained an extensive network of poisoners, priests, alchemists, and assistants. Her organisation had effectively functioned as a criminal enterprise that catered to the darkest desires of the privileged class. The court proceedings became so scandalous that Louis XIV ordered certain testimonies to be sealed, particularly those involving Madame de Montespan. Despite this attempt at damage control, the trial had already exposed the moral corruption that lurked beneath the glittering surface of French aristocratic society, forever tarnishing its reputation and leading to significant reforms in French criminal law.
On February 22, 1680, Catherine La Voisin met her fate at the Place de Grève in Paris. The execution grounds were packed with thousands of spectators, all eager to witness the demise of the woman who had terrified and fascinated French society in equal measure. Unlike many condemned prisoners who showed remorse or begged for mercy in their final moments, La Voisin remained defiant until the end. She refused last rites and reportedly cursed at the priest who attempted to offer her spiritual comfort. Before being tied to the stake, she was made to perform the traditional amende honorable, holding a burning torch and publicly confessing her crimes. Even in this moment of prescribed repentance, witnesses reported that she remained her characteristic composure, neither breaking down nor recanting her actions. As the flames engulfed her, it said she died without uttering a single cry of pain. The impact of La Voisin's case extended far beyond her execution. Her trial and death marked a turning point in French legal history, leading to the establishment of the Chambre Ardente, a special court commissioned by Louis XIV to deal specifically with cases of poisoning and witchcraft. Over the next 3 years, this court would try 442 suspects and sentence 36 people to death. The case exposed the deeply rooted corruption within French society and led to significant reforms in law enforcement. Police surveillance of fortune tellers, midwives, and apothecaries intensified, and new regulations were implemented to control the sale of potentially dangerous substances. The profession of fortune telling, once a respectable occupation in Paris, became increasingly stigmatized. Perhaps most significantly, La Voisin's case marked the beginning of the end for widespread belief in witchcraft among the French elite. The shocking revelations of how supernatural beliefs had been exploited for criminal purposes led to a more skeptical attitude towards claims of magical powers. Within a generation, accusations of witchcraft were treated with increasing skepticism by French courts. The affair also had lasting repercussions for the French monarchy, though Louis XIV had managed to suppress the most damaging testimonies about Madame de Montespan. The scandal permanently altered the king's relationship with his court. He became more reclusive, increasingly preferring the controlled environment of Versailles to the unpredictable atmosphere of Paris. The glittering facade of his reign had been irreparably cracked, revealing the darkness that lurked beneath.
To this day, Catherine Monvoisin remains one of history's most notorious serial killers, her story serving as a chilling reminder of how power, superstition, and criminal enterprise can intertwine with devastating consequences. Her legacy lives on in French criminal history as a cautionary tale about the dangers of unchecked ambition and the corrupting influence of power. The legacy of Catherine Monvoisin, better known as La Voisin, extends far beyond the sensational aspects of her crimes. Her case fundamentally transformed the French justice system, leading to the first systematic approach to investigating and prosecuting organised crime in France. The creation of the Chambre Ardente set a precedent for specialised criminal courts that would influence French jurisprudence for centuries to come. Perhaps most significantly, La Voisin's case marked a crucial turning point in French cultural history. It represented the last great witch trial in French history, effectively ending an era where supernatural explanations held sway over rational investigation. The shocking revelations of her criminal enterprise forced French society to confront the dangerous intersection of superstition, commerce, and criminal behaviour. In many ways, the affair of the poisons, centred around La Voisin's activities, can be seen as a watershed moment that helped usher France into the Age of Enlightenment. Today she stands as a fascinating figure who embodied the complex tensions of her time between superstition and science, between the ancient world and the modern, between power and justice. Her story continues to captivate true crime enthusiasts and historians alike, reminding us that the past, no matter how distant, still has much to teach us about human nature and the eternal struggle between law and lawlessness.
Thank you for listening to Foul Play. If you enjoyed this week's episode, you can leave a review on Apple Podcasts or share the episode with a friend. See you next week.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.